Hey everyone, and welcome back to the First Act Podcast. This is part three of Conquering the Canadian Music Biz with Daryl Herz, founder of Indie Week, managing director of Downtown Music, and CD Baby. Listen in as we deconstruct major changes in the industry, how to thrive as an artist and business professional, and how you can forge your own path in this wild industry. This is an episode you won't want to miss.
And now, hosted by Harry G., this is your one-stop shop for hot talk straight from the top. Whether you're trying to build a job in pop, rock, or any other artsy schlock, here's your top dog with info that can't be bought, it's gotta be sought. So sit back, crack a six-pack, because we're about to chit-chat and rip facts. It's the First Act Podcast.
Where do you see the music industry headed?
Well, there's about three or four different paths that are going to emerge here. You can almost kind of draw a grid of four squares, right? There's the complete digital and complete in-person. There's going to be people that do not want anything to do with digital. That's fine. There's going to be people that want to be just digital and not do anything in person. And then there's kind of the mix in between, right? And the mix in between is it touring or is it residency? So for instance, U2 right now are setting up Las Vegas residency and a venue being made for them. It's a Sphere. And it's about the fan experience that you could get nowhere else but there. It's in person. It's going to be amazing. And it's unique. They can't take that on the road. So we're going to see more of that because technology of virtual reality and augmented reality in-person experiences as the venues are built for it is going to be mind-blowing. We can't even fathom what it's going to be, right? Also, holograms, that's going to be a thing, guaranteed. At South By this year, I saw holograms. I watched a hologram concert. I'm going to do a nod to Ontario Creates because they put it on where they had a hologram box and the artist was in Montreal. We were in Austin. And that she interacted with us. It looked real. It was great.
But can she see you?
Yes, 100%. She totally interacted with us. So complete in person, no tech. Complete online, no in person. And then the mixtures. And I think it's through touring and still having augmented reality or augmented experiences through tech. Because they're going to have to level up. Yeah, using a gaming phrase there, geek phrase, but they're going to have to level up to stay in competition. And then there's that residency where it's like, wow, that's built and that takes a lot of time. ABBA's been doing this in the UK with avatars and very successful. And when I have talked to a lot of people and some people are like so against it, but I've learned my opinion doesn't mean anything. What means is if it's going to connect with people and make any large level of money, business is going there. They're going to make ABBA's making money sleeping right now. Like there's two shows a day, 1,000 people per show. The price is not cheap. They did their performances. It can go on for 5 years without changing and just keep making money sleeping. So they know there's business there. And it's artists need to sort of think that way. And if you think Broadway, and I've been talking to artists for this for years. Phantom of the Opera. There's one script. It might have a different cast, but there's always a mask. There's always a chandelier. There's these moments. And I'm like, because I've had arguments with some artists about this. And I'm like, well, what's the ticket price for a Phantom of the Opera on Broadway? And how long has it been running? 20 years? Did they ever change the script? No. Oh. So there's money to be made in a quality show that runs in one place. So it's a business model that's proven, just music hasn't adapted to it as much, except for Bruce Springsteen has done Broadway and other people are talking about doing Broadway right now. And people have done residencies in Las Vegas, but could that residency in Las Vegas move to London, UK for a while? Could it move to Berlin for a while? Could it move to Tokyo for a while? So it can be repeatable, right? And the beauty with tech, as if coming from a tech background, they could hit a button and change the experience tomorrow. So day one, do you want the rock Elvis or the blues Elvis, the folk Elvis, the country Elvis, or the gospel Elvis? All those shows could be done in a certain venue in one place. So that experience could change, you know, and with you too, I know they're focusing on off-tune maybe, but maybe that venue stays there. And the next year they go, here's a Joshua Tree experience. And the next year, here's the, you know, our early days experience. So it's very exciting. And what that does is it increases revenue streams for artists, which is great. There's going to be like, imagine here's a show. I was there. Bam. I've got all the recording of it on my phone right now. It's part of the ticket, part of the merch package, you know?
So that you don't have to take your phone out and film it yourself.
Yeah. Well, I just was at a Bono show and you had to put your phone in a bag and they locked it away. So no phones were allowed.
In Yonder, right? The Yonder bag. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, open your mind to what's the new possibilities of digital merch, digital assets. We could be potentially like, imagine if this call was with U2 right now as a VIP experience. You know, maybe Edge is sharing a new song he's working on right now, and that's exclusive. You know, like there's so many things that could happen. And when you're thinking of building fans, man, this is the best way to build fans. You could build fans in Berlin and be in California. You could build fans in Tokyo and be in Toronto and build these experiences so that when you do go there, it's really heightened. So I really do believe the people who adapt to both are going to have the best of both worlds. The people who are like, we're just in person, have to be great at being in person, because there'll be a lot of competition. There are people who are going to be just online have to be great at being online, because there'll be a lot of competition. The in-betweens, I think, are best of both worlds and have a lot of playground to play with. And if you think of it, and I've had talks with some artists on this too, what better time to be a creative artist? I love Tom Waits. Why? Because he's very poetic. Some of his videos. Imagine if Tom Waits was really active right now, what he could do with his poetry, his lyrics, visually, with the music online. Imagine immersive at a show and you're seeing the lyrics on the venue walls swirling around and it's like you're in the video. Like, we have to really open our minds to it, because I think this is an age.
You can even have like a graphic novel.
Well, no, absolutely. Like part of these talks were with a friend in Brazil just a couple months ago who does graphic novel. Every time I'm there, he goes, hey, like, here's my latest novel. And he gives it to me. Or it's like this. It's awesome. He's amazing. And I was having this exact talk of like, imagine what you can do. You can bring this to life. You can animate your music. You can really do so much with it. There's two things. We're going to go into an age of creativity like never before. And I'm going to steal from Elon Musk. We're going into also, and this is the hard part, we're already kind of there, into an age of abundance. How do you stand out amongst everything? Because there's just too much stuff. And that's why you have to be really great at what you do. That's the one thing is, if you're doing it, you have to be invested all in, and you have to be great at it. You know, this is the time to really stand out. And the beauty is, through tech, is you don't have to have a huge audience. What was difficult in, hey, I'm playing a show in Toronto and it's really hard to get 2,000 people out as an indie band. Well, can you get 2,000 from around the world to tune in? That's actually much easier.
Right.
And probably less expensive. So having that global audience and building it. And if you just start small, hey, I did a live Zoom and 10 people were there. Okay, well, how about next week being 20? How about in 3 months, there's 150 people tuning in. And how about at the end of the year, it's 800? Wow, that could be explosive. Who knows where it could be in 2 years after that? But it's consistent, great, and delivering, and treating people like people online and talking to them and engaging with them. So those, I think, are the magic ingredients.
I couldn't agree more. You know, it really boils down to that consistency. And in our industry, it's about the creativity. You know, if you like, when, you know, you're talking about this age of abundance and how you can stand out. Well, artists nowadays need to be more than just artists. You know, I've sort of been preaching this to people in my network, is that artists aren't really artists anymore. They're all creators. You know, they're creators of art. And that is very open to interpretation. Where I kind of interjected there, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was saying about graphic novels is one option. And what you can do with that is you can work with somebody who is passionate about being a graphic artist and work with your brand and your brand elements, and you can have your community pitch in ideas, or a closer community pitch in ideas on how they want to what's the word I want to use, like exaggerate, I guess, elements of your story and turn that into like an anime or into like a cartoon or into it could be a show or a spinoff. And there's so much creativity that can come from your music, your songs, your lyrics, your own story as an artist. And now more than ever, you can use these things to not only stand out among all the noise, you can use it to tap into new areas of fandom, where somebody might relate better to your graphic work or your physical art, your visual art, as opposed to your music. So it really broadens that network, and it brings people from other interests together, like a Venn diagram.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, don't be afraid of trying stuff that might not have to do with your music, right? So just a quick example is Ozzy. I grew up listening to Ozzy. I knew about Ozzy, but a lot of people didn't. But he did a TV show called The Osbournes. And then all of a sudden, everybody knew about Ozzy. And yeah, all of a sudden, there's a resurgence of his tours and like his attendance and the albums. And then all of a sudden, Ozzy ended up being on this show and that show and so many more things. So sometimes you have to think about where are people at that you can connect with and lead them to your music. And often people are like, here's my song. And they're pushing with the music first, and there's no relationship. And like, I get stuff in my DMs all the time. Here's my song. And I have no time to listen to it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't know this artist is. I'm not going to listen to it. You know, I got so many emails coming in. I'm like, kid you not, I'm at 2,700 inbox right now, 2,700 emails in my inbox, right? No joke. So I got to focus on that stuff. And here's something I don't know, I don't trust yet.
Not coming from someone that you actually know and trust. Now, I just wanted to say that Ozzy example is an excellent example. And especially how you can broaden or expand your existing fan base. I mean, listen, Ozzy's massive. Ozzy was massive even before the show. However, you know, Gene Simmons did a similar thing, right, with the Family Jewels. And my mom would have never gone to see Gene Simmons before watching that show. But, you know, it tapped into, you know, he's Jewish. My parents are Jewish. She loved the show. There was so much fun activities about the family, so many other elements to Gene Simmons, frontman of Kiss, that it really broadened the audience. So I was just going to say that was such an excellent example of how that can translate very well, and not to be afraid to kind of step outside of your, you know, your music or your comfort zone or however you see it. There's so many other opportunities out there.
Absolutely. There's so many music documentaries and things like that. Artists should be doing that. And something that a lot of people don't consciously think of is, okay, well, how many people were watching Ozzy when his music was the background music? Oh, so there's a sync royalty possibly in there somewhere. So, and then other people might go, what song was that? I should go find out what that is, right? So, or they might not even think about it, but then they hear it on the radio and they go, hey, I heard that. So it's another delivery of subconsciously getting your music out to the masses as well in this particular case.
Exactly. What a great way of thinking about it. One of my favorites is Jimmy Buffett, who started Margaritaville, where he had the song Margaritaville, but then he franchised out all of these resorts, and all these resorts have to legally play his song over and over and over. What a brilliant man.
Exactly. Like you're creating outlets for where your music is to be heard, right? Or in some cases distributed to, where a sale is going to take place of some sort, right? Absolutely. And I think that, I get it. I was an artist too, and I was really focused on music when I was playing guitar and all that. And it was very closed-minded in, hey, maybe we could do a book. Maybe we could do a documentary. Maybe we could create a web series. Maybe we could, like, all of these things just helps get to more people. And nowadays, you've got TikTok, you've got Instagram, you've got Facebook, you've got LinkedIn, you've got YouTube, you've got Discord, you got Snapchat. I probably missed Twitter. Like, wherever people are, that's where you got to be, you know? And people get overwhelmed, but I would say, which one resonates the most with your immediate community? That's the one to go with. You have to be present on the others, because if somebody searches, you don't want to be not found. And whatever you do there, point to the channel that you are active on the most. You know, so on Twitter, say Instagram. If Twitter's your thing, on Instagram, say go to Twitter, you know.
Yeah. Or if you have a live stream, point people to Twitch, whatever it is that you're trying to put out there. Now, Daryl, I got a last question for you. And I know that this is more like a fan favorite question that, you know, if any students were to meet you, they're going to ask you, what is your favorite part of your day-to-day job?
Ooh, I've got a few. Favorite part, bottom line, being able to do something that I thought about in grade 6, which is doing something in music, right? I'm very fortunate, I'm very lucky, taking the approach I had through the digital side, being able to build something sustainable. I get a kick out of paying staff, employees, and artists. Like, every time I write a check, it's like putting money in other people's pocket. I get a kick out of that through doing music stuff. Like, it's really quite crazy. I'm very fortunate in that sense. And I got to say, you know, on that problem-solving side, I really get a kick out of when we solve these problems and see the results. I love putting challenges in front of us coming up to the challenge and meeting it. And then, you know, I've talked with my staff every once in a while, like, do we plan any of these conferences online? No, but we're doing it and it's successful. Isn't that a great feeling? Yeah, 2 years ago, we just were starting this, you know, without the plan. It was a reaction to COVID. So those are the kinds of things. And then when I see messages on any platform, either an email, DM, a text message, or on a channel where something positive has happened for an artist because of something we're doing. And often I'm the last to find out. It might have happened 2 years ago. And I'm like, oh, really? That you're working? Did you guys meet at Indie Week 2 years ago? Like, yeah, that's how it started. So sometimes I'm the last to know. But those are the kinds of things that I really get a kick out of, is when we see something that has helped somebody somewhere. And we kind of either were instigators in putting people together, or we just opened the house and had a space where people could connect and something happened and they did it on their own. I get a kick out of that.
It's really beautiful. You know, it, just being able to lead with value. Is, you know, and by providing people with this space to meet not only members of your team and yourself and, you know, the clients that you work with, but also being able to meet other people that are drawn to the events that you put on. I think that's a really magical thing about entertainment in particular, is that it really brings people together. And that's one of the great things that sort of came out of COVID, because now it's borderless. Like you were saying, you've got people in Japan, you've got people in Israel, you've got people in South America, you have people all over the world that are tuning in to come together when you yourself are based in Canada.
It's crazy. And last year, I just, as a guest. I'm like, hey, there's a conference happening in Romania. Same time we're doing a conference. I went to a conference in Romania and still ran our conference while at a conference. I was on a panel there and finished the panel, and I logged onto the computer and ran our conference. And then I was in LA during one of our conferences, and we streamed their conference. You know, like there's new collaborations in works where potentially attending two conferences in two locations at the same time. It's a new world, and you got to be open to it, you know, and that was exciting.
Well, Daryl, I want to be cognizant of your time. I really appreciate everything that you've shared with us today, your story, all of your path, your unique story, but also the stories, like the tangents on that, but also some of the great value and the tips that you've shared and some of the just slogans to kind of live by. I think that that's extremely valuable, not only for myself, but to all of our listeners out there, all the students that are looking to break into entertainment. There's even so much that we haven't even really spoken about that maybe we can speak about in the future. But I could see that, you know, you're very innovative, you're very forward thinking, and it's exciting that you're working on so many different projects, but your values, your core values are true across every single one of these projects. So
if I could say one thing with that, because what you say is very true. You know, people are like, how do you do CD Baby? How do you do Indie Week? Well, the reality, the bottom line is we are all helping artists. That's it. You know, what I do with CD Baby aligns exactly with what I'm doing in all other aspects. You know, it's helping artists achieve their goals. And you know, the goal is A, get music out there. B, get it heard, get it so that people are recognizing it, and see how do we get towards a sustainable career making money so that I can keep doing it. And it's all wrapped together in that. And so that's part of where I've been sort of able to take on more things, but it's because its core values are all the same.
Well, Daryl, thank you so much for sharing everything. I really appreciate your time. Would love to have you back on the podcast at some point or next time.
Absolutely.
I'm in Toronto. Grab a coffee with you. I was actually just in Toronto a couple of weeks back. I should have sent you a text.
I might have been in Mexico at the time.
When Cam reached out, I was in Toronto, but I was so strapped. Had I known before, maybe we could have planned something. But I head back. I head back all the time to Montreal, Toronto.
Absolutely. And I'm open to doing this anytime. I love conversations like this. Very engaging. Hopefully somebody listening, this helps them out.
Absolutely. I'm sure without a doubt. I mean, I know that I got value here. Without a doubt, you've got at least one other person that's listening that will get a lot of value from our conversation.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if anyone's listening, follow me on Instagram and we can connect there. DM me. I'm real easy to find. And go to ditcommunity.com and check it out.
Remember, new episodes release every Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific. See you there.